Good morning. Today you're going to get the second bunch. Walter and I have already admitted we're the second string. But pray for us. Brother Robert and Laura are headed back. And so we continue to pray for them on having a safe trip and all. So welcome. And if you happen to be a visitor, which we're very excited about, we have on our bulletin a place to fill out and turn that in the offering plate, if you would. And we know you about your attendance and make contact with you. Senior adult will have a luncheon on Valentine's, that's Tuesday, in the fellowship hall at 11:30. So remember that if you're lined up. They're going to have, now this is the big deal. As we always try to have a speaker or singing or some sort of a entertainment, I guess you'd say, Monty Calloway and Kim Spring, and then they have down Elvis. I don't know, you know, we'll be singing. So just hold your breath. We don't know what that's all about. Also, need volunteers for devotionals during Upward basketball halftime. Please call the church office to sign up and volunteering for that. Look at your bulletin. The deacons meet at 4:30, and this evening I'm going to be teaching on John the Baptizer, his role, and how unique of a character he was. And, well, there's nothing else going on this afternoon. So, 5:30, we'd love to see you. We're going to have deacon's prayer right now. And if Garrett would come.
He will bow your heads with me, please. Father God, I thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity to come to your house and worship with our brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that you just fill this room with your Holy Spirit, that you calm us, you help us to put aside all the distractions and to focus on you, to worship you, to give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for all that you are, all that you have given to us, all that we're provided with, and help us to truly open our hearts to be receptive to the message that you bring to us today. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. We also, before we begin our singing, I know that many of you were aware, possibly some might not have known, that Lucinda Cummings' father had passed away on Monday unexpectedly, and Houston and Lucinda, and I think the Murdys also as well, others possibly, went to Arkansas for that memorial and time. And so we continue to pray for them, asking comfort and a safe return. So we're going to be singing Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's in the hymnal, it's 579. And so, we got the words, brother? All right. If you'd stand, we'll sing. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark. Is shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. By the truth you now bring us, shine, Jesus. Father's glory, praise Him, praise, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. All my darkness shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nation with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your brightness, so our faces display your likeness. From glory to glory, mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine. Shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. You may be seated. Oh, my. I told you to sit, and then the next song is I Stand Amazed. So, if you're a mind to, we'll stand for this one. I think we'll be okay on the rest. I Stand Amazed, number 547. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. You may be seated. Because we can have faith in God standing or seated. Amen. We're going to sing Have Faith in God, number 405.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. You're alone or the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust His word, and be patient. Have faith in God, He'll answer yet. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon Him and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, He provides for His own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Father, we come to You now, thanking You for all of the blessings that You've given us. thanking you for the opportunity to give back just a little of what you've given us so much of. In your blessed name I say, amen.
We're going to sing 144. 144, all the verses. When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey the
Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. It's good to be with you this morning. I am sure, as you already have, I've been praying for Robert and Laura on their trip back home, and that God will give them traveling mercy. While you are finding Hebrews chapter 10, I want to pray when we get there, and then also encourage you and ask you to pray concerning the situation in Turkey, as well as Syria, and the earthquake that took place there. We have some friends there, and so what I've been encouraging churches, I've sent out emails and such, if you are desiring to help in that effort financially to give, you can do that. I'm giving three ways that I'm very confident in. One is through sendrelief.org. Now, that's through our convention and missions organization, sendrelief.org. The other is Samaritan's Purse, who you are very familiar with. They have already gone. They've set up a temporary medical facility there. I'm not exactly sure what city they're in. They're in Antioch. That's amazing because of what I'm about to tell you. The other is we have a personal friend there. We were there in 2007. In fact, I got to preach in the church in Antioch. The pastor, Adnan, pastor of the church in Antioch, his wife died, his son and his daughter-in-law died in the earthquake. Their two grandchildren were injured. So now, their grandchildren, mom and dad, are gone. We have a personal friend over in that area who has been renting a people mover, driving to Hatay, the area, and Adana, and Antioch, and then bringing people back to Mersin, where he lives. Now, for point of reference, Mersin is just a little bit west of Tarsus, where the Apostle Paul was from. And they are getting temporary housing going and helping the people there. And so if you would like to give to that, our daughter has been in contact with him. He's been sending us pictures and reports. In fact, he was in the hospital yesterday morning to tell Pastor Adnan about his wife and son and daughter-in-law. We are sending money to him directly, to Hakan, this friend of ours. In fact, my daughter, we were there in 2007. My daughter went back in 2013. Right before she went into the army, she wanted to go back to Turkey one more time. She stayed with Hakan and Bilgin, his wife, in their home. So a very trustworthy young man. And so we are wiring money directly to him to help with the renting of the van and the gasoline. He said one of the major needs they have right now, besides some clothing, is filtered bottled water for baby formula. And so we have got some other friends that have been giving in that. So if you're interested, sendrelief.org through our missions organization, Samaritan's Purse. And then personally, my wife will be, in fact, wiring some more money tomorrow. So if you'd like to be a part of that as well. But in Antioch, Hakan sent us pictures. There is hardly a full structure building that remains standing in the city of Antioch. Now, if you remember, that's where believers were first called Christians, in the city of Antioch. Been there. It's an amazing place to be able to go. And so to think about having walked some of those streets and now to realize what's going on there, it is incredibly tragedy. They're now saying over 23,000 have died, and they are still searching for bodies. So I really encourage you to pray for those people, especially the believers that are there, that are helping in this effort. So that's just been very heartfelt for me to watch and get these reports daily from our friend Hakan and what he's doing there. So, all right, let's pray together, and we'll look at Hebrews chapter 10. Father, we come before you and thank you for loving us the way you do. You are the one true Almighty God. And we are grateful for the opportunity this morning to be in this place, the freedom that we have to come and to worship you, to fellowship together. And now another time after Sunday school, now another time to look into your word. And so I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and help us to understand what you want us to understand, to see what you want us to see. And Father, I pray for Robert and Laura as they make their way now back home, that you would give them traveling mercy. I pray for Houston and their family and the comfort that they are needing from you, the death of a family person, a family member. And then, Father, for the tragedy in Turkey and Syria. Overwhelming, Father, to watch and to see what's taking place there, and praying for those who have lost family, those who were injured. God, we ask that in ways that only you are able to do, in ways beyond our ability to imagine, that you would reach into hearts and lives there and show your glory and your strength. Father, I lift up a friend, Hakan and Bilgin, to you and the work that they are doing, and pray that you would protect them. Pray that you would give them strength and wisdom and traveling mercy as they go back and forth into that hard-hit area. I pray for Pastor Adnan and can't imagine what he's going through. Lord, thank you that he reportedly will make a full recovery and his grandchildren, but now pray also for their comfort. For so many there that are having to live through this, Lord, we pray that you would help. Thank you for those who are going through Samaritan's Purse, through our missions organizations and other mission organizations. God, give them strength and protect them and help them to show your light and your love. And for our ability to be a part, Lord, we're grateful for that. So, Father, bless in that situation. Now again, Lord, I pray, speak to us in this place this morning. And for that, I give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just another note on that. If you do Instagram, chances are you can see this. On Instagram, there's a little search button you can push, and it just goes to all kinds of things. But I was watching yesterday multiple videos, short clip videos of buildings collapsing during the earthquake. What you may not understand is, like for Hurricane Harvey and such of things that we have over here, you have your home. And so, you know, the men's group gets together and can come and help repair your fence or whatever, or your roof or whatever. Folks over there, these folks primarily live in apartment buildings that are anywhere from 5 to 15 stories. And so when an earthquake happens, these things just pancake to the ground. And so you understand these folks, that they have nowhere to go back to. They don't have the ability to go repair their home. They don't have a home. They live in these buildings. And so now all this temporary structure, in fact, Hakan said one of the things that they're doing is getting like similar to train boxcars and using those as temporary shelters for people. But these folks, for years, they'll have nothing to live in. And so just another concept that we're not real familiar with, but if you... You go on Instagram and punch that little search button, you will probably see some video of these buildings and how they collapse. And it's just a tremendously tragic situation. All right, let's get into the Word now this morning. There are three things in this passage that we are given instructions on. Let us do these things. So I want you to look with me in some detail this morning at these things that we as believers, as the church, should be doing. Now in Hebrews chapters 8 up to this point that we're going to get to in chapter 10, we read of all of the things that Jesus has done, providing the relationship for us with God the Father, fulfilling, completing all of the Old Testament requirements. I thought it interesting this past week as I'm reading through my portion of devotional scripture in Leviticus and realizing that Hebrews is really kind of a summary of all of the book of Leviticus. And it's talking about how Jesus is superior to all those things. He's superior to angels. He's superior to all the Old Testament requirements. He's superior to all the Old Testament priests and what they did. So he has done everything to fulfill all of that. And so then we come to verse 22 and following. And so because of all of that, from chapter 8 to this point of chapter 10, what Jesus has done for us, then let us then be doing these things. And each of these three things begins with the words, let us. So this is a passage of scripture that, at least in my mind, demands a little bit of extra study. Looking at the word, I'm a word guy, and looking at the words and their meaning and the grammar that's used, it's so important. For example, let us. This phrase, in the way that it was written by the writer of Hebrews, speaks to a continuous or repeated action, but here's the interesting part, without implying anything about the timing of the action. In other words, this should be something that is continuous and consistent for us as we look at those. In fact, another way to translate this is in saying let us is to say we should. but there's not a time. There's not only on Sundays when you're here. You know, let us do these things only on Tuesday night visitation. That's not what he's saying. This is, there's no time frame to it. So it's consistent. So what is it that we should be doing? All right. So all of this is coming directly from verses 19 through 21. So let's look at that first in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, you know, we're really kind of stuck because verse 19 starts out with therefore. And you've heard me say it before that whenever you see that word, you need to look and see what is said next is therefore, right? So we should legitimately go back and read beginning of chapter 8. Now, we're not going to do that for time, but just take my word for it. Chapter 8 to this point to chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So our relationship with God the Father through Jesus, therefore, because of that, so then, see, because we no longer have to have that annual sacrifice of the priests where he would once a year go into the Holy of Holies and present that atoning sacrifice for all of the people that was good for 1 year. And then a year later, he's going to have to do the whole thing over again because we don't have that anymore. Jesus offering himself, the fulfilling atoning sacrifice for all time, the shedding of his blood in dying on the cross, in rising from the dead, providing salvation, the ability for you and me to have an intimate, personal relationship with God the Father and no longer need a priest as a mediator, but we have the ability to individually go to God on our own. Therefore, because of that, we should be doing these things. These three things. What are they? Number one, verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now remember, the wording is such that the idea is let us keep on drawing near. It's not just a one-time thing. Keep on drawing near. And the words draw near come from two words, the word for to and the word for come to. So the idea is to come to. To come to gives us that idea to approach, to draw near spiritually. And he continues, we draw near, we come to God with a sincere heart. That word refers to something that is true, real, genuine. And then we come in full assurance of faith. Listen, when we come to the Lord, we don't come flippantly before the Lord. We don't come begrudgingly. Now, yes, there are times when we don't feel like doing it, but that's the time we should do it the most. but we don't come that way. We're to come into the presence of the Lord with hearts convinced, genuinely desiring to be in the presence of the Lord, and convinced, assured that the Lord hears us and that he, in fact, wants us to spend time with him. You see? So whether it is in times of praise when we come together, interesting, I was watching Church First Baptist Dallas this morning before I came here, and Dr. Robert Jeffress was teaching about the church, and he said that, you know, the acronym he uses, the word he preached a sermon one time on a church that wins, and he used the word wins as an acronym, and the first win of the activity of a church is worship. Worship. And he just applies into what we're going to get to in a minute. He says, you know, when you're not here, that's one less voice joining together in worship. When you're not here, that's one less prayer joining together, going before God. It's important to be here. That's what we're about. And so we come in prayer. We come in praise. We come in worship. We come in study. And whether that's personal study and also then the sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, let me remind you that we can come with confidence and we can come with boldness in that situation. Turn back a few pages still in Hebrews. Look at chapter 4. And look at what the writer says in verse 16. Interesting words. Chapter 4, verse 16. Again, therefore, so what he said just above this, same wording. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, listen, you can come before the throne of grace with confidence. You can come with confidence in that. Why? See, we don't come into the presence of the Lord with trepidation and with fear. That's not how we come before the Lord, wondering if God cares or not. He does. He does. Here's why. Because what he says next, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Because of all that the writer has been teaching in the previous chapters leading up to this, because of the blood that cleanses us from our sin, we are now in the sight of the Lord clean. Clean and pure is how God sees us, because he sees us through the perfect blood of Jesus. Come before the Lord with confidence. Come with boldness before his throne, with a true and a genuine and a sincere heart. Know that you can, know that you should draw near to the Lord regularly. Number two, verse 23, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And again, the same emphasis, keep on holding fast. Hold fast is a word that means to hold fast in a spiritual sense, to have, to hold firmly. Now, what are we holding firmly to? The confession of our hope, the truth, the reality that Jesus is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is risen, that he is in control, that he is King, that he is returning. That is the truth. Our society is so confused about truth today. You have your truth and I have my truth. No, there's just one truth. And I don't say that to be arrogant or mean or anything. I'm just saying with confidence. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth. There's not your truth and my truth, folks. There's just God's truth. And so that's what we hold to. See, the encouragement is to hold on to this truth without wavering. Don't go back and forth. Don't be wishy-washy about it. Remember what James said? In fact, it's just a couple of pages over in your Bible in James chapter 1, verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Don't be in doubt. Don't waver. With confidence, come into the presence of the Lord in prayer. And asking him of things and being confident about that, keep on coming into the presence of the Lord. Why? Because what he says next, for he who promised is faithful. God can be trusted. Now, I know that sounds like preacher talk, right? That's what you would expect the guy that comes and stands up here to say something like that. You trust God. Listen to me, folks. With confidence in God's word, and from personal experience, I can tell you God can be trusted. There are people in this room today that can tell you from personal experience that God can be trusted. History is filled with people who can tell you from experience that God can be trusted. If you could, and if you're a believer, one day you will be able to sit down with all the people that are listed in chapter 11, and they will tell you from experience, God can be trusted. Now, yes, the Word of God tells us that we can trust Him. And I wish that was enough for everyone. As a teenager, when God really began to get a hold of my life, that's all I needed. Our preacher used to stand and say, the Word of God says, and that's good for me. I'm okay, that's all I need. I know there are a lot of people today that's not enough. That's not enough for them. I wish it were, but there are those that want more. So that's fine. If you're one of those people, that's okay. Listen to me. If you're one of those people who's just not real sure, find someone that you know who trusts in the Lord and ask them why. Ask them why. And those of you who do, always be ready to share with another person with love and grace and mercy and with understanding, not condemning. We'll just believe it. I just bless God. You believe it, Brother Joe. No, don't be that way. With understanding that there are some of those people that okay, I know this says it in writing, but who says this is the thing, right? I get that. I mean, I don't get that, but I get that. But for me, it's a faith thing. It's good to, but there are those that want to hear your story of experience and how God has come through for you. Be ready to share with those people in that regard. Remember the wording that the writer of Hebrews uses with these three encouragements doesn't speak about a time frame. So always be ready to share with someone else. Constantly be doing so. We should be doing so. Why? Because there are people all around us, all around you, where you work, where you go to school, where you live, where you shop, where you go for relaxation and recreation and vacation and whatever the case may be. Everywhere around us, there are people who are looking for hope, looking for something they can believe in. So let us keep holding fast to the confession of our hope in Jesus, because he has promised to be faithful to the end, and he is. Another thing to state here, listen, regardless of what society may say, regardless of what the world around us may promote, folks, listen, God can be trusted. He's faithful. He's faithful. So keep holding fast. Number three, let us consider, verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, this one gets very interesting and a little bit fun, actually, when you begin to look at the words here. First of all, the word consider means to contemplate, to perceive clearly, and it's tied with accountability, which comes in verse 25. But he says, let us consider, let us contemplate, let us perceive clearly how to stimulate one another. Now here's the fun part, the word stimulate. The word means to incite. Now typically when we hear that word, we think of it in a bad context. They incited a riot. They incited the fight. They incited the argument. This word is connected to good, to incite to good. It comes from another word that means to sharpen alongside. Figuratively, here's what's funny. Figuratively, it means to exasperate. To exasperate. So go ahead and annoy each other to doing good things. That's what he's getting at. It flows right into verse 25. Here's where the accountability comes in. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's prodding each other to love and doing good, to incite, to annoy, to prod, to stimulate each other to church. See? And then also, it's don't let people slip through the cracks. Don't lose sight of people. Work at not losing touch with others. Church attendance is a good thing. It's a necessary thing. We are made for fellowship. It's one of the ways God made us, relationship and fellowship. So keep inciting people. Keep encouraging people to come back, to get involved and to serve and to help out in the ministry, to be a part of the family of the church. The word encouraging comes from two words. The words by the side and to call. And so it's the idea of to call to one side. You see, it's not so much, hey, I hope to see you at church this week. It's, hey, come go with me. It's not, hey, praying for you, hope all goes well for you. It's, let me walk with you through this. That's what that word is about. Why? Because more and more we're already seeing the habit of some being to drop out. I'm sure Brother Robert's probably told you what he's reading, the same things I'm reading, that the trends are telling us that coming out of the pandemic still, that most churches have lost at least 20% of their attendance. And the trends are saying those 20% aren't coming back. So verse 24 and 25 is saying to us, go get them. Go get them. Go incite them. Go annoy them in a loving way, of course. Annoy them into coming back and being a part of their church family and being a part of the ministry. Why? Because this trend is only going to get worse. The more we move along God's timeline of history, the more this will be the norm. Sad to say, but that's reality. So we have to work at it. Not just on visitation night, all the time. I mean, it's no profound statement, no big surprise that people are discouraged. People are struggling. People are hurting. People are lonely. And they are wanting to know where they can find real, genuine, honest, sincere truth and love. So then, let us be the ones they see it in. Let us be the ones they hear it from. Let us be the ones they experience it with. So my encouragement to you today is this. Keep on drawing near. Keep on holding fast. Keep on considering ways to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, to continue showing the world around where you live, God is real. God is faithful. God can be trusted. God is love. And He is our only hope in this world in which we live. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word, for how it so very clearly, plainly, simply teaches us things that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for its ministry in this community. Lord, I pray for these folks that they would be energized today by your Holy Spirit to love and good deeds, to be reminded you love them. You enjoy your relationship with them, fellowship with them. And that would cause them to want to continue drawing near to you. And then, Lord, for those that have kind of slipped away here and there, Lord, that you might remind these folks about those folks. And then, by your providence, cause them to cross paths, even this week. And in a loving way, these folks will annoy them into coming back, to being reminded that you love them and that it's important to have the fellowship and the drawing near. Father, I pray if there's someone in this room today, it's not really realized how much you love them, but maybe over the past few days or weeks, you have been dealing with them. They haven't realized what's been going on, but they just are feeling something. And it's you through your Holy Spirit drawing them to yourself. Today might be the day they're ready to say yes to you. And Father, I pray in just a moment as we are standing in this invitation time, you would give them the courage to come forward. There'll be someone here at the front to greet them. All they'll have to do is come and say, I need Jesus. We know what that means. Be able to help them. Answer their questions. Help them understand what it means to be in a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray for those who have already made that commitment to you, surrendered their life to you in this room today, yet they're struggling with something. Maybe faith's been a little weak lately. Father, I pray you would just remind them of how much you love them and how by simply drawing back near to you, you will help them to see your glory and your power in their lives. God, do this morning in us what we need to have done, what only you can do. And for that, Lord, we'll praise you and give you all the glory, for we pray it in Jesus' name today. Let's stand together. Brother Joe comes and leads us in this hymn of invitation. If God's dealing with you, one of your men, Buzzy or Ike, one of Buzzy's coming, all right, to come and be here at the front. You may obviously feel more comfortable coming to someone you know. If God's dealing with you and you need to come, maybe you just want to come and pray, whatever it may be, as Joe leads us a couple of verses. God's dealing with you. You come.
Without Him, number 300.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
We're going to sing the chorus from Shine, Jesus, Shine to remind us that we need to be shining all week for the Lord. So let's sing it together.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and that there be light. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you, Brother Walter.